I remember. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We just praise you, Father, for allowing us this opportunity to get together with each other, pray, and believe, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your leading tonight. We praise you, Father, that we know that we have an open heaven, and we know that when we pray, it's going to take place. And we thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do in us tonight in this fellowship. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for all of us putting on the battle gear before we got on tonight, because we're going to fix and do some little warfare. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for everything that's going to take place this evening, because I believe we're going to see a mighty miracle. In Jesus' name, a mighty miracle. In the name of Jesus. I remember many years ago when I first came here, we had a morning prayer meeting, and the Lord told us that three miracles were going to happen that day. And three miracles happened that day. And so I believe we're going to see a miracle tonight. Okay, Lord, we're going to be doing just like Elijah did. We're going to declare things. And Father, we praise you for it. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that your angels are surrounding about Terry right now. That they're around him, taking care of him, watching over him. We thank you, Father, that you're going to one somebody that knows you in a mighty way. It makes no difference whether it's a man or an angel dressed as a man. Father God, we thank you for running somebody in front of Terry that he would listen to and that they would pray for him and he would be free from that addiction. And not only that, Lord, I ask and I pray for that you grant repentance to him, bring him into the kingdom. And Lord, I thank you for your humbling spirit upon him too, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for Terry and Teresa and everybody around him in the name of Jesus. I declare and decree him into the kingdom in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for doing this for Terry. He's in torment constantly. In this bondage that he has been in. And now we're going to see him free from this bondage. And chains is breaking off of him tonight in Jesus' name. We command him to get off of him in the name of Jesus. We break the power of Satan off of him right now in Jesus' name. And we command you to go from him in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for your blood covering across over him now. That the enemy cannot penetrate in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that he cry out to you, Lord, as I know you can put that repentance glory upon him. And I praise you, Father, for bringing him into the kingdom this evening. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Terry and his mom. Thank you, Lord, and everybody around him, and his wife and his kids. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for Terry tonight. And I believe it's done in Jesus' name. And I command you, Satan, to get your hands off of him now. In Jesus' name, don't even look at him. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to give him clarity of thought also. Lots of clarity of thought. And I praise you, Father, for the crying out of Terry right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Y'all believe that? Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Carabosu terebosin la terebocu romandi. Nono normala terebocata terebocu tonterebosi. Arikitene rebo papa tonterebosite. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Anna.
I want to pray for a couple things.
Okay.
First, I want to pray for Matthew. He's in the shower right now, but I'm not exactly sure what he did, but he got hurt at work. He hit his ankle on a metal plate thing, the dock plate for the, where the semis come up and unload. I'm not exactly sure what part that is, but it's swollen. So thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we just rebuke this swelling, this pain, this throbbing. All of it's got to cease. Excuse me. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that the bruising is going to go, the discoloration, the swelling, all of it. And I thank you, Lord, that he's healed. There's nothing wrong. The limp has to go. I thank you, Lord, he's going to have a good night's sleep and have no problem working tomorrow and no issues going ahead and doing his job and the things he needs to do here. And I just thank you, Lord, that your word promises healing and we receive it. Thank you, Father. Amen. And I want to pray also. We made some new friends today at the park. I took the boys down to the splash pad and we met this mom from next town over. She's like, "Do you come to the park often?" I was like, "No." She's like, "Us either." So it must have been the Lord. We were talking about the Lord. They're a homeschooling family. They got four daughters and a baby boy. And really sweet lady. And they homeschool, and she was just kind of thrilled to find someone who doesn't let their kids watch TV. And I was kind of thrilled too, because, you know, usually people are like, "Oh, you're a little extreme there. You know, you don't let your kids have any screen time." And so we were talking about, you know, curriculum, homeschool curriculum, and the Lord, and they're from California. So I just want to pray for them. And I just thank you, Lord, for bringing Melanie across my path. And I thank you, Lord, for orchestrating that, Father, and I pray that you would draw them to yourself, Lord, and sanctify them in your truth. Lord, I know that they're looking for you, and they know you, Lord, and they love you. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing them completely into the kingdom in any way that they might not be. I don't know a whole lot about them so far, but I just thank you, Lord, for making our paths cross. And Lord, as you would lead, if you would like them to come to fellowship, Lord, I pray that you open the door for that. And I prayed with her about her husband. He works like an hour away, and that's kind of hard on him. So Lord, we just agree here together too, Father, that you're going to open doors for them, for her husband to be close. So he's not 2 hours a day extra away from the family, just driving. And I just thank you, Lord, and I just bless them. And Lord, I just pray that you form a friendship, Lord, and anyone else you would have us to meet and fellowship with, whatever, Lord, to share with, that you go ahead and do that, and you just lead us. And Lord, I just thank you for this, Lord. The chances are astronomical of this happening. And this is like the second time we've been to that park this year, and I just thank you, Lord, because you're just so awesome. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Were you at the water park?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Awesome. Were the kids there with her?
Yeah, they were. They live in another town, but they come all the way here to use the library because they like this one better. And they don't come often. And when they were there, they decided to run down and let the kids play in the park for a little bit. And we got to talk.
Okay.
Well, awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I'd like to pray. Is his name Terry, the one that's caught in the addiction?
Yeah, this is Teresa's son. That's okay. On here now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Father, thank you. I agree with all the prayer that has been made up to this point. I thank you for that. We thank you that you have bound that spirit of addiction, and it is coming out. It is even out the door now. We thank you for that. We also, Lord, come to you and ask you to reveal the ground, whether it be rejection or hopelessness or whatever it is, Lord, that you would reveal the ground and that you would remove that ground from Terry's life right now, so that there is no position or place for that spirit to inhabit and to take ground in him. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your strength. We ask you to just surround him with angels and bring forth the necessary motivation to move with you, with the Holy Spirit, and to draw him where he needs to be. We thank you that his bonds are broken in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are covering that relationship with the blood of Christ, and that he is turning his heart even now to look and desire a better way. And we know, Lord, that that better way is in you. So we thank you for it. We thank you for the blessing that you are going to bestow on him, and that he is going to be free to bestow on others. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Terry. In Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else? Okay, I want to pray for William, who showed up here. Lord, I lift up Will to you, and I thank you, Father, that the guy he needs to hire is on the way, and he's going to have a great relationship with him, and he's going to be a hard worker and someone that he can trust. And, Lord, I thank you for doing that for William and on the farm there. In Jesus' name. All right. We believe it, Will. And Lord, we thank you. We cast down all witchcraft curses spoken against him and his farm in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that the enemy is not going to hurt any of them, any more animals of his through word curses or any other kind of way. In Jesus' name, we pray right now a hedge of protection around all of his farm animals in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for doing that. In the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that Will is going to, every day, he's going to get up and say, thank you, Lord, that you have kept my animals free from any kind of witchcraft or any kind of disease or anything. Because you walk in divine health, and all your animals do too. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that you have a hedge of protection all the way around that farm. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. On the water supply and on the food and everything else, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Get ready, Will. That guy's coming if he hadn't already shown up. All right, anyone else? Well, I'll pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for bringing down all the deep states across the world in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to see some freedom here for at least 3.5 years. And I praise you for that, Father. Relief from any kind of, what do you call that? Any kind of retribution against people that are Christians. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you do have a hedge of protection around your bride. And I thank you, Father, that in the days to come, we've already been through the wilderness. We're going to go through another one, but we'll be able to help other people that are going through it. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, for providing everything that was going to be needed, because I know you've already done it. You've already got it sacked up for us, Lord, and we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful people that's going to be in part of this this ministry, this end time ministry of the man child ministry and the bride, and also the revival. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to get the message out. You're going to get the message out. We're going to see many people come to Jesus, like we're seeing over in Iran, like we're seeing over in Yemen, like we're seeing in a lot of those African countries. And Father, I just praise you and I glorify you for doing that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for turning those mosques into meeting places for your people. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, we thank you for keeping out any kind of error, like the prosperity message and all of that garbage and the once saved, always saved stuff. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. But you're only going to have your true teachers over there teaching it. And we praise you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all of our evangelists that are already over there. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? I thank you, Lord, for exposing everything in this government that we have that is nefarious and evil and have trafficked people and also anything that's been evil, bribes and all of that stuff. Lord, I thank you for exposing all of them in the name of Jesus from the top all the way down. And I didn't want to mention anybody's name. So I thank you, Father, for bringing them all down that are evil. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for breaking every machine, election machine, that they have already fixed to vote for the opposite, to vote for somebody. It don't make any difference who it is. That to vote for the wrong, for anybody. And that those machines would be broken and they couldn't use them at all. And I thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for getting the people together to want to outlaw those machines. In Jesus' name. I saw where the Alliance had stopped a big truck full of those voting machines that had already been victimized to vote for Biden. Anytime somebody put Trump's name in there, it was voting for Biden. A whole semi-trailer full of them. So, Lord, I thank you for finding all of them, opening, exposing all of them, and exposing the people who ordered them. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. We're not going to have an outlaw vote this time. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Lord, I thank you for grounding all of these chemtrail planes too, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that they are grounded and they won't run again. I thank you, Lord, for disabling all the new weapons and the HAARP and all of that, Lord God. And we praise you for doing that, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that, for saving the lives of so many people from the deep state. They don't mind killing just thousands and millions. They don't mind killing millions, for goodness sake. They want to. And Father, we praise you and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's just not going to be any kind of pox. It's not going to be any kind of things like that. All they want to do is fill you full of stuff. And I thank you, Father, that you're not going to allow it this time. In Jesus' name. Lord, I know you have a plan. And Lord, we don't want to interfere with anything that you're doing. So I ask and I pray, Father, that you limit the amount that's put out there, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I know, Lord, that you're going to have an earthquake here soon. All right, let's come against anxiety right now in Jesus' name. I lift up Angelica to you and I break the power of anxiety. You go from her right now in the name of Jesus. And I mean you go. You foul spirit, go from her right now in the name of Jesus. And I command it by the power and the blood of Jesus to be gone from Angelica right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I command condemnation to go from her too. In Jesus' name. Y'all believe it? Then send it out in Jesus' name. Anxiety, you go from her right now. She says it's really bad. She's trying her best to try to overcome it, but she's free from it. She is free from it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Missy, you might ought to call her and pray for her. Tell her we prayed for her. Or Anna, either one of y'all. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Angelica. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Want to pray? Amen. It will. Yeah. You want me to sing?
That'll drive off.
That'll
drive off,
Michael. Yeah, it'll drive off the friends too. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I was looking at 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, imagination verse, you know, and I suddenly realized that this is a battle between two imaginations.
You know? Yeah, it is.
And I was going, man, you know, why didn't you just tell me it was a battle between that bad imagination and good imagination? So, you know, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. So, you
absolutely.
Know, it's a battle of your two. Don't let the other guy do it. You know? I know it's easy to say sometimes in the midst, but when someone's in the midst of something, you know, they just got to be reminded. I hope I remember it next time it comes. Well, I do.
Yeah.
The Lord reminds us. He sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in His name to teach us all things and remind us of everything He taught us. There you go. Yeah. He just reminded me.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, I was telling a good sister today that the imagination with the confession of our minds gets you to the place you want to go a whole lot quicker, if you know what I mean. If you're looking at yourself like Jesus, that you're the light of the world, and you start confessing it, who you are in Christ, and what the devil's fixing to get done to, you know, it's going to happen. You get there quicker. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father, for the, and I have a vivid imagination. Thank you, Lord. Does anybody not have an imagination? Don't raise your hand. Just amen.
Now, Michael, does that count for like what you had? When, like if it was a real good meal and you have your mind on.
Well, that too.
Forget about that pizza you had that time. Yeah. All I got you going now. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Don't let that imagination get in there.
Of course, yeah, it does.
You know, it's the silliest thing sometimes. You can be in a daze, I guess, or in a daydream. Control it. It's wrong. Anyway, I hope it helps people. I know it's not funny when it's tough stuff and shouldn't really do that. But we can laugh over it after it's all finished because we have the victory. Because the Lord will help all the time. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all an imagination that is just hung on you, Lord, and that all we see is you, and all we speak is you, and all we talk about is you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I have a favorite place that I go now, and for a couple of hours, try to do it every day, but I'm not able to. But I was out there today, and it was an awesome time with the Lord. Awesome time. Right on the lake out there. I'm not on it. I'd have to walk out there. I hadn't perfected that one yet. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it pretty hard. I wonder if I can walk across there. You can if the Lord tells you to, can't you? I tell you what, you put, like Andrew was talking about, you put your imagination to it, you could do anything. Isn't that what the Lord said? That's what the Lord said.
You can always remember the mirror.
Yeah, the mirror. Looking at Jesus. Look at that Jesus in you.
You know, that's a good verse also to explain to those people who think it's blind faith. Well, no. it's seeing. that's that mirror we see in. So praise God.
Amen. Is it cold in there? It got cool here this morning. Yeah, I know you and Matthew just opened the doors. 60 something degrees this morning here. About 61, I think. 63? Is that what it was? Yeah. It's 39 in your house anyway. I have to take my down coat when I go over there and praise God. But it's fun. It's fun. Okay, anybody else want to pray? Or do y'all want to hear a good praise song? Is that Matt in there? Is that Matthew in there?
Was that Michael?
Is Matthew right there?
He is now.
Hey, Matthew.
Hey, Michael.
How's your leg?
Hurts.
It hurts? Well, let's pray. In the name of Jesus, I command that pain to go out of his ankles and his leg right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that by in the morning, he'll get up and he won't even know he had it. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, it's gone right now. In Jesus' name, we ain't going to wait till in the morning. Pain go. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. And everybody agrees. Thank you, Jesus. By the time this song is over, you're gonna get up and dance a jig for us. Okay. Here is tonight's song.
Is it good to be as a dark tent to dwell again.
That's a great song. I love that song. That's a good song. Okay. Do y'all mind if I read another thing out of this book, Progressive Intimacy? I think it'll provoke you to try to get closer to the Lord. Y'all mind? Okay. All right. My son, behold the place of worship, the place of fellowship. That's right here. That is the place of rest and peace and stillness and in quietness. You hear my voice as I speak to you. Communion is what your Father desires of you. To walk with and to talk with my children is what I long for. I haven't read this in heaven. This fellowship and communion is what I created my children for. It's in worship that this bond is established. For how can you know someone with whom you do not fellowship with? Or how can there be communion where no relationship is? I think we have a pretty good relationship here with each other. For too long, my children have attempted to know me out of and through their works. They attempt to find me and to hear me without ever getting to know me. The legalistic mindset has been fashioned in them from those who sit in authority over them, who call themselves my servants, who are not my servants, nor do they know me. So they preach and teach my children, my sheep, out of what they do not know. For how can the sheep fellowship with me if their shepherd does not fellowship with me? Or how can they know how to fellowship with me if they are taught out of works instead of intimacy? Where did my word ever tell them to operate out of works instead of love? Where does my word ever tell them that they can only please me through their works? It is the hearts of my children that I have always desired, not what they can do for me, but only that they would love me as I love them. This is all that I have desired from my children. Yet they attempt to continually please me and satisfy their own conscience through the works and the sacrifices they perform. This is a futile attempt, as I have already given the perfect sacrifice, my son, for them. And by his grace, they can now enter into the kind of fellowship that I have always desired from them. My children are taught falsely, and so in return they react wrongly to my word. I will hold in great account those teachers who stand in the pulpit and profess to know me, but they do not. But I will also hold in account those sheep who listen from the pulpit, but they do not check what's being said with me or with my word. That's why it is of great importance that they be guided and led into the truth by a teacher and a shepherd who truly cares for their well-being. They must give themselves over to the Holy Spirit, who will in turn reveal to them their one true shepherd, their bridegroom, and the lover of their souls. This is the only way to turn them from the many years of false teaching and doctrine that have so ingrained their souls and spirits. They must be turned from the darkness of deception into the light of my truth. The truth must be spoken to them. They alone will choose whether or not they'll hear it. But my sheep must be given an opportunity to hear the truth. My truth will be established in these final hours of the church. My truth will prevail. My truth will be the foundation on which they can establish their hearts and minds, knowing that they are walking in the fullness of that truth. And when my children walk in that truth, then their true spiritual eyes and ears will be open to see and to hear my truth. This is the only way to bring them out of their deception, by my truth, by the standard of my word, by the foundation of truth being established in them by their one true teacher. The importance of being inoculated against the deception of this age will become greater and greater in the days and years that follow. My children must know me and my word through the revelation of their teacher, my Holy Spirit of promise. No longer will they be able to look to man, nor to hear man's teachings, who is puffed up by his own intellect and knowledge. The revelation that my Spirit shall give will be truth. Look to me and to no other to find the absolute truth. Find me and you find the truth. Heed the men and women of me who speak the truth, but look past them to see me. You must be like me, my children. I desire you to not look like any other man or woman who walks with me, but to look like me and me alone. And as you behold me in my face, you will look like me. It's the imagination. You must be obedient to do what I have called you to do. You must hear my voice and go where I send you and do what I tell you. I alone am worthy of all the glory. I alone will receive all of the glory. Become that nameless, faceless generation that I desire you to be. Do not be distracted by man nor by the opinions of 1,001 words that are not truth. But set your heart, your mind, and your eyes completely upon me. It's in looking to me and me alone that you can talk, that you can be all that I have created you to be, and do all that I have destined for you to do. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Lord, we just ask and we pray that you help us, Lord. Take us by the hand and lead us, Lord. And we praise you for doing it. We thank you, Father, that the word will just come alive to everybody that wants to be like you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that we don't have our eyes on man. We have our eyes on you. Man has done nothing but fail. But you, Lord, have never failed. You have always done the things that your Father wanted you to do. And even now, You're teaching us to do the same thing. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. Anybody else want to comment or pray? I love this book, Judy. That's such an awesome book. And I recommend everybody get it if you want it. All right. We talked about last week how we all get close to the Lord. And I guess the thing that the question now is, how many of you have started doing it and getting words from the Lord and getting close to Him and help, you know, having the Lord speak to you and minister to you? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Morning, everybody. I just want to have a question, not about that. Well, it's somehow related, but it's, because I'm in South Africa, well, not because my mornings is your late evenings. So in other words, I don't get that much sleep. How do I differentiate between the Lord's and the enemy when waking me up? Say, for instance, last night I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock. When I woke up at 11, almost 11, and I said, no, I only got an hour's sleep. So when he's sitting, so I cast lots. Lord says, no, it's not for me. That's it. When 12 o'clock, he wake me up. Wake me up again. So I was just, and when I'll finish my Bible study, whatever, and not whatever, my Bible study, when it's time for meeting now with you guys, 2 to 4, but it sometimes feels like I'm not getting enough sleep. So sometimes I'm not sure. I don't want to cast lots every time I'm getting awake. Anybody idea or is it just me?
Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes the enemy keeps me awake too. And I think it's the enemy, and just because of what I'm physically feeling or whatever, and I can't get comfortable, and sometimes I wake up like every hour, every 2 hours, and like, okay, I'm just like, Lord, do you want me to get up and pray, or I'll just lay there and listen to see if He's going to speak to me, or if I, you know, feel anything in the spirit. It's like, okay, I try to go back to sleep, you know, and I'm not going to fall under condemnation about it, you know, and like I'm not getting up. You know, so sometimes it's the enemy. Sometimes I'll just rebuke insomnia and sleeplessness and restlessness and whatever the enemy's trying to do to rob me of sleep. And a lot of times that works. And then sometimes it's just, I feel like I'm being tried. It's like, okay, Lord, you sustain me. If I'm not going to get sleep, I'm just going to trust you to sustain me today. You know, and, so I don't know if that helps you, Joe, but sometimes it is the enemy trying to do that, and sometimes it's just like, okay, I'm just going to rely on you, Lord. You know, I didn't get much sleep, you know. And I think it's different all the time. The enemy would accuse me about, well, why didn't you get up? Why didn't you get up in the middle of the night? Why didn't you do this? And I'm like, you know, shut up. I'm not listening to these accusations against me, you know. So sometimes I just hear the Lord say, just rest, you know, and just let rest, and I'll try to meditate. Sometimes I'll put on a Bible study, if, you know, in the middle of the night, if I'm awake, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to listen to something, you know, or I'll put on music, or I'll start, you know, trying to sing and, you know, or something, or just trying to, you know, so it's different. You know, I don't think there's a yes or no answer to that, though.
I just roll over on the other side. That's what I do. All right, anybody else got an answer for Joe?
So, Michael, how many hours do you sleep more or less at night? plus minus, Michael?
Oh, I get, you know, I get 4 or 5 hours every night.
Oh, okay. No, so 4 or 5. Okay. That's okay. That's, yeah. Because I was yesterday about 4:45, well, 4:45 a.m. yesterday morning. And then last night I was going to sleep about 10:30 almost. Yeah, almost now. It's not that I'm feeling tired, but it's just, sometimes maybe just condemnation of the feeling of I'm not getting enough sleep.
If I can get 5 hours of sleep, I'm good, man. That's good. That's really good. David sleeps less than I do. He didn't sleep at all last night.
Andrew, can I ask you?
Go ahead.
Sorry, can I ask Andrew, just for, because he's also on pension and things. How many hours do you sleep at night? Do you wake up in the middle of the night as well or not? Or is it just...
Yeah, my nights are pretty restless. You know, I tried verses there from, I don't know the number of the psalm, but there's a verse there. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You know, I think it was mentioned here once.
You're talking too low, Andrew.
Well, there's a psalm there. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer for thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. So if he's not sleeping, we can. I think it was mentioned on here once before, but I noticed something about the rest over here, you know, in the last two verse. I was reading it today, and I said to Ben here that he showed me something about rest. And then I remembered that it was here in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. And I don't know, maybe I have to know this, you know. And it's the last two verses. You know, that no flesh should glory before God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who became to us both wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification from God and redemption from God, that according to all that is written, who glorieth in the Lord, let him glory. So, I you know, it's kind of like you gotta rest in those verses, you know, because, you know, he's the one who called you anyway. So, but to him are ye in Christ Jesus. So, you know, that's kind of peaceful and restful, you know, like, I don't know if you have to read the verses before this, but how about look at the last two verses, you know, read a couple of verses before it too. And you might see the rest in those verses, you know. You know, just, I don't know, maybe glorify God when he wakes. I sometimes think maybe he, you know, I used to think that he wants you to pray. Like some of the things that are happening in the countries where, you know, they persecute. And I think maybe the Lord wants you to pray for some of them, you know, say a quick prayer. And, you know, this is a very easy time zone. There's a lot of people. We're hoping that a lot of people are praying for other people, their brethren all around the world. Sometimes you don't really think about it too much, but we really should be reminded of it. Perhaps we should ask the Lord to remind us to pray for our brethren too, you know, who are in difficult places and in difficult items, much more difficult than what we've ever had to go through ourselves. And sometimes some people have more experience in that kind of difficulty. So we have to be awakened to this too, you know. That could be it too, you know, because I just thought of that now. But yeah, I seem to have even fake dreams that I know that they're not from the Lord, and I rebuke them. Sometimes I don't get a chance to rebuke them, and then I have to wake up, and then I rebuke them, you know. And I'd say, oh, I'd never do that in true life, Lord. I dreamt I was young once, and it was a bad dream, though, and so I won't repeat it. And I had to rebuke the dream when I woke up. So if it's something like that, you know, it says somewhere in the New Testament that even the Apostle Paul was very weary at times. And, you know, maybe he didn't get rest either, you know. So we've been getting a lot of good information lately. So I don't know. That's my guess. You know, you're getting information that no one else has, and somebody doesn't like that. You know, you have knowledge that no one else has. You know, and the dark side doesn't like when the light gets so much light. That's another kind of thought that I have. Anyway, I hope people can speak about this to tell me what it might be, because I'd like to certainly pray against it. And it could be that what I said there, you know, that we've got to start praying for some of the people who are going through difficulties to realize that these things could come, you know. So anyway, praise and glory to God. I'm not saying that that's it. I'd like more info on this.
I do.
Oh, sorry, Andrew, just give me an address again. Sorry, when you're talking earlier, what you was reading.
Well, what psalm is that? 121, I think it is.
Okay.
It's a journey right. One. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. And then it's the last two verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But, you know, you want to read some of the verses before it because it sort of flows.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, no.
So I just discovered it when I read it this morning. And you started talking about that, and I went, I'm going to have to review those again, you know.
Anyway. All right, okay.
Because okay. it shows that God the Almighty is in this. And he could be doing these tests too for us. Well, he does everything anyway, so... we have to be focused. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Pat. Sometimes I can put on David and go right to sleep. Some of the Bible studies, not all of them. Go ahead, Patrick.
I guess what kind of hit me. I know that it's been some time ago the Lord was taking me through, I guess, you know, deeper consecration or commitment of my life to Him. And I know it was, it took me through a time where I was he was teaching me about expectation, and if you think about expectation is simply an imagination. It's in your mind, and it's a mental picture of what you expect to happen or to receive or whatever. And it puts you in a place of, it puts you in a reference point so that if you receive what you're expecting, you have joy. You have, you are pleased. You're relieved. You're satisfied. There's a spiritual, you know, satisfaction there. I think guys are, well, I don't know, maybe this is probably everybody. When you have a task that you know that you have to do, and you lay out the steps of it, you know, I have to do A, and then I have to do B, and I have to get that done before I can do C, because whatever, and then, and when you start into that process, you have this expectation of the finished product, the finished, you know, task being completed. And as you get closer and closer, you know, step two, you're getting, you know, I'm just about there. Step three, step four or whatever. And then you finish that task. There's a certain release and a certain pleasing and satisfaction that happens once you do that. And, you know, and also the reverse happens is that if you work through that process, but you don't get to that expectation. In other words, you either quit or something derails you or you stop, you didn't quite make it. There's still that I'm going to say anxiety or unsatisfied motivation that, you know, and that can come in and, you know, I didn't make it. It didn't work, or it doesn't look like I expected it to look. And there's a dissatisfaction of some sort up to that point. So it was in that process of learning learning that the Lord took me over to a verse. I think it was in Psalms. As a matter of fact, I looked it up. And that psalm was Psalm 62:5. And I haven't been there for a while, so, you know, I'll just read it. Verse 1, it says, a psalm of David, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall. You shall be as a tottering fence." I'm reading out of the King James, by the way. "They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth. They curse inwardly, Selah." I probably shouldn't have read that. It kind of is not the point that I was trying to make. But anyway, I saw that word expectation up about, or imagination, or imagine. But anyway, 62:5 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." My expectation. And so, if you go back to my previous example or statement about about that satisfaction and or dissatisfaction as you attain that expectation or get or receive that expectation. And David is saying, I wait only on God, for my expectation is from Him. So I'm probably saying a whole lot of things to get around to this one point, but it was in that process of understanding how expectation works within us. And I was come to a point where I started giving the Lord certain aspects of my life. And again, I know that we give Him all of our life when we come to Him and repent. But this was a specific time where I felt that kind of the need to write down certain aspects of my life and then offer them up on the altar. And this was the example of Abraham offering his only promised, one and only promised son that God gave him. And not only was it a promised child, but it was a promise of the new covenant, of a covenant relationship that He would bless the nations. So there was a lot tied in with that. But God took Abraham and told him to go offer Isaac up as a sacrifice of worship to Him. And and of course we know this, all know the story. But in the same example, the Lord, I believe, wanted me to offer up these certain aspects of my life. And I went through the gamut. My job, my employment, my future employment, and my children, my marriage, my expectation to have a nice car to drive, or you know, whatever it was. I just sat down and I wrote out all of these things. And one of those things that I wrote out was my right to have 8 hours sleep a night. I've always read that, you know, you're supposed to have 8 hours sleep. Probably the same people that wrote that, you know, also said you're supposed to drink 24 bottles of water a day or something like that or whatever. But anyway, I'm derailing myself. The point being is I had to offer that the amount of sleep that I get, that I think I deserve, I had to transfer that expectation over to the Lord. And just like the Lord did with Abraham, some of the expectations that I had, some of those things He kind of took away, I'm going to say, or they became not as important, or I didn't have a real strong desire or expectation, I guess you might say, to maintain, keep those. Some of them I did keep. It's just, but I gave them over to the Lord and allowed Him to make the decision of what remains in what he controls, you know, that he controls them all. And one of those things was sleep. And so I don't remember any great, you know, thing, you know, coming of that. I know that other than the fact that, I started immediately, like, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and spending a couple hours with the Lord before I had to go to work. And that was a long, long time ago, but, the thing that was the neat thing about it is I didn't have that nagging, I guess, expectation or desire there that it's, oh man, I only get 6 hours sleep. I can't do that. That didn't make it to my 8, and I gotta have 8 because that's standard procedure. All of that left me. You know, I'm gonna say the Lord took it away, and I didn't have that nagging, you know, thing that I had to reach there, you know, I guess you might say. And so, I mean, over the years, it just seems like I don't need that much sleep. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'll even come home and take a nap, you know, 15, 20 minute nap or whatever, and get up. Or I might even, and on the weekends, I might sleep long. There's not that set rule within me that has to be satisfied, I guess you might say. So I don't know if that helps or whatever. I don't even know if it's on the point, but I just know it's kind of what the Lord showed me about the thing. It's all in his hand. and so sometimes it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes I don't, you know, like a pressure on the job or something will keep me, you know, worried or this or that, and I'll go to sleep and I'll wake up at 2 in the morning or something and get up, and the Lord, you know, is taking me through a battle to deal with that and resolve it and whatever. So it just all seems to work out in that process. But anyway, I'm rambling too much now, so hope that helps.
Well, I can hear everybody's got different times to sleep, whatever. And then I maybe I'm just getting I'm thinking too much about it. So let me put it this way. Yeah. Okay. I understand. But thanks. So everybody's different. Thank you, Michael.
Amen. You know what I found, Joe? It makes no difference how many hours that I sleep. I always seem to be okay, you know, when I wake up. I even before I became a Christian, I never slept a whole lot. Anyway, it just doesn't take, you know, some people it doesn't take as much as it does others. Some people like to sleep 10 hours a day. To me, that's just, that's out of my realm of understanding. I think they say something like 7 or 8 hours is optimum or something like that. Well, it is if you can sleep that long. I think it's just a matter of what you're used to. As a farmer, ex-farmer, you know, when you wake up early and you go to bed late, a lot of time, this time of the year especially.
It's all about rules. I'm making too much rules. That's it. I mean, it doesn't leave that rule. That's not.
Yeah. We thank you, Lord, for taking him out from under the law in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that free, and he who is free indeed, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Joe. It don't make no never mind how many hours you sleep as long as you love the Lord.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Father.
I'd like some of that too.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, you control it all. You wake me up. I don't know, maybe I should turn the alarm clock off. I don't even know why I'm setting it. Anyways, Lord, you wake me up and...
Amen.
And do it all. Praise God.
Amen. Well, and David can do it too. I get up in the morning at 4:30 or 5 o'clock every morning. I don't make any difference how many hours I slept. I get up 4:30 or 5 o'clock every morning. And I get up and go, you know, shave and do all that kind of stuff. And I come back in here and read the Word. Get ready for the morning meeting. I'll get ready to go down there and cook David's breakfast. I don't allow him to cook. We'd have salad for breakfast. That's all he knows how to cook is salad. Go ahead, Andrew.
Would it be too much to ask that maybe you go through one of your days so we can know how it is with you? So we can imitate you? Can we ask you, like, what your day is like? Like,
my day?
What do you do in your day? Like,
well, in the mornings, I get ready for the morning meeting. We have a morning meeting every morning, except for Wednesday morning, and all a pot blessing morning. And I get up and get ready to go downstairs and cook breakfast and feed David and myself. And then we have the meeting, and then after the meeting, depending on what David wants to do, we get in the Word generally, and then if, you know, but all during the day there's something going on. You know, somebody will call and say, "Well, I need this," or "Would you do this?" and that kind of thing. We're just serving the fellowship, helping the fellowship out, and Brandy does a lot himself. So it's more or less what comes up. When we're not doing that, I'm doing one of two things. I'm either in the Word or I'm out walking. And David's the same way. He walks too. He didn't walk where I walk. He walks up and down that crazy driveway. I can't picture that. I want to get over and get on some flat ground. A little bit of flat ground anyway. But he likes to. He likes to do that, and that's fine. But that's basically it. And then we come in. We sit out on the porch a lot, talk about what the Lord's showing us, you know, that kind of thing, and things of the ministry, that kind of thing. It's just whatever comes up. It's generally pretty busy.
If I may ask, Michael, do you got habits of doing it the same thing every day, or change it the whole time?
You do things every day at the same time, or is it like habits, it just depends on what's happening.
Only thing that we do every day at the same time, basically, is take a nap after lunch. If we can, we take a nap. And a nap for me is if I can lay down for just 10 or 15 minutes, I see it. I'm good. David, sometimes he sleeps a little bit in the afternoon because he doesn't sleep at night hardly. But that's basically it. It just depends on what's going on. You know, sometimes it can be pretty busy. We try to take one day off for he and I to just go out and get in the truck and get away for a little bit, you know. And that's generally on Thursdays, but that ain't possible now. It's too busy. It's too much going on internationally. But yeah, we try to take at least one day off a week, but sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. But it's all, you know, it's all worth it, Joe. We have a good time. We do. We have a good time in the work.
Can I just say, if you're interested, yesterday I talked to Brandy. Well, it's the first time I text him quite a bit. But yesterday I talked to him. That was quite an eye-opener for me just about these days, about how we do things and things. So it helps me quite a lot just to think about somebody else, because I'm quite by myself. So I'm not, I don't go out with friends and things like that, because by me, that's one of the things, but I don't like talking to about sports or any other thing. If I want to talk, I want to talk about the Lord and what I learn or what I teach or whatever, what teaching I listen to and things. It's probably get somebody else to talk with me. Get out and somebody else. But there's nobody here that can say? On the same page, try to be on the Lord, talk about the Lord and things. And then sometimes it's just difficult for me. But sometimes I'm not going even out of my room. I'm just sitting here and studying and reading and praying and singing or whatever.
Yeah. That's good. I'll tell you what a preacher told me one time. Good guy, I liked him. And I was telling him, I really don't have anybody close to fellowship with that I know. And he said, well, why don't you go out and evangelize somebody and make your own fellowship? I said, well, okay, we can do that. And, you know, that's what he told me. That was been a long time ago. I've got too many friends now, I don't have. But our day off, Joe, let me tell you what we do on our day off. We generally go over to Rural Kings, which is a farm store, farm supply store. And they give away free popcorn. They got a popcorn machine. I'm going to tell them. And we go over there and get us a bag of popcorn and wander around and slobber all over the tools and things like that, you know. But that's what we do. That's a good day for us, and then we'll go back home. Just a way to get out and get away, you know what I mean? Sometimes you just need to do that, don't you?
I think I'm too much in a routine of doing the same thing every day. So, no, I think I'm going to change that. Too much of a routine. Thing to think about. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes we do think too much, don't we? Yeah. I tell you, what always refreshes me is going out for a good walk. That always refreshes me. I don't care if it's 20 degrees outside. I'll put on my down, put on my down jacket and my boots, and here I go. I'll go walking. Yeah. It's always helped me clear my mind and get back on track. Praying in tongues is good too. I know you do that. I pray in tongues a lot. I think everybody here does. Let me ask this, since we talked about getting drawn close to God last week, last time, has anybody really put that in practice now? Still starting to put that in practice? Getting close to God and talking to Him and being a friend to Him? It sounds kind of corny, but I do. I do. I talk to Him just like He's my old friend. I just started, not that I've been doing it all along. Every now and then I would, but now I try to do it every day. Anybody else doing that? Okay. Judith says she's still working on that. Okay. I told the Lord what I wanted to tell the Lord. That I, you know, Lord, we can have these talks and that's okay. I just don't want to be ending up on straddling a fuselage of an airplane trying to get somebody home. I know you can take care of it. Boy, that sounds kind of scary to me. That prop's right behind you. But the wind's going the right way, you know. Oh, I saw something tonight. How many of you have ever heard of Alice Cooper? It's not a girl either. Alice Cooper is a rock band star. And he's the one that paints himself up, or did, used to paint himself up and all that kind of stuff. He had a testimony, and I was listening to some of it. I didn't get to listen to the whole thing, but he's a Christian now. He was brought up a Christian. Both his parents were Christians. And, well, I don't know if that's old or not. I don't know. I don't know how old he is. Anyway, he was talking to this guy, and he was telling how, you know, every time the doors were opened, he would go to church, you know. His parents would go to church, and I don't know what denomination they went to or anything. Yeah, that ain't old. He got to talking, and he said his wife had left him. His wife of many years had left him because of the cocaine. And so he was trying to get free of all of that addiction. And he had a big old ball of cocaine, he said. It looked like a softball that he was chewing on. Or whatever they do to it. I don't know what they do with it. Smoke it or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, he said he staggered into the bathroom and he looked in the mirror and he said, I don't know if I was painted up from my show or what, but he said, I saw blood coming down my face. You know how he used to paint himself up and all that kind of way. But he said, I saw blood coming down there and it really scared him. That's where I stopped at it. And I believe that's where he had an epiphany of the Lord, came back to the Lord at that time. I'm thinking, I don't know, I didn't listen to the whole thing. But Alice Cooper, of all people, if when he came out, I thought that was the evilest band on the stage right there. I did. I thought they were, man, that's evil. Golly, how can anybody listen to that? Yeah, does everybody know who I'm talking about? Okay, Pat does. I figured Joe does. Okay, now you're telling on yourself. I never did like him. I don't like that kind of music. Barbara does too. But anyway, he's come to Christ. He's got his wife back. He said, yeah, he says, I quit doing the dope. But he said, but she's like everybody else. She's waiting to see if he's going to hang in there and stay with it. And the best way to do that is with Christ, isn't it? That's the best way to do it. And he is with Christ, he says. So praise God. Lord, I thank you for working mightily in Alice Cooper. I don't even know what his real name is. That's not his real name. That's probably something like Jim Jones or something. I don't know. No, not Jim Jones. Elmo Block. That's probably his name, is Elmo Block. I don't know. But anyway, I thought that was so amazing that God started working in his life again. He's 76 is what Joseph said. I believe it was Joseph said he was 76. 76 years old. He's a young man. Lord, we thank you for working in that man's life. We thank you, Father, for getting him come totally in and not just a fence sitter. And Father, we thank you for that. There's too many of those.
Father, we also pray that he use his voice now to praise you. In Jesus' name.
Oh, Josie said his name is... Vincent Damon Fernier, son of a minister. Yeah. Where's he from, Josie? I know he ain't from Arkansas. Ain't nobody look like it from Arkansas. Detroit. Okay. Up there in Missy's neck of the woods. No, she's in Pennsylvania. Well, it's north. Go ahead, Joe.
Can I just ask, I want to send you an email with something I want to ask you about. What's your mic? Is Proton working or is Faith working? UBM. Your mail. I haven't sent it yet.
Both of them are working. Okay. We got both of them to working. By Faith, you can send it to Faith.
Okay.
Either one. They're both working. I got one day I just got tired of not getting my mail, and I went ahead and paid the bill with some help from my friends. Vincent Damon Fernier to Alice Cooper. Is that the name of the band, or what's his name in the band?
His band name is Alice Cooper.
Yeah, yeah.
The band is named Alice Cooper. Yeah. Wonder why they named it Alice Cooper. Who was she?
I think you have to take it in the context of when he was rock and roll, in the 70s, early 70s. He was kind of in the hippie rebellion, you know, culture of that day and kind of, you know,
yeah,
shocking his way into, you know, the shock sensation seemed to be the big thing, around in that time, you know. So,
yeah.
I remember, I used to listen to him, well, many years back. What I can remember is he was coloring in his face to shock the people. That's why he's getting so much attention on, he wants to be different that time. I'm not sure if I'm correct on that, but he wanted to shock people because he wanted to be different than other people. That's why he did it that way. That was many years ago when I did listen to rock and roll. So that's part of it. Wait, did you receive a mail, Michael, or not?
Let me see. You send it to my Faith?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The ones with the attachment on it?
Yeah, there's two of them. It's just, one is the book cover of Andrew Murray. It's just to show where I get it. And yeah, the other page I want to ask you about.
What you underlined?
Yeah. There's red, and then there's all versus life of the flesh. But one of the things, it's all the manifestation of flesh. What I want to ask you is about, when it, It also appears in a pleasure found in eating and drinking when your conscience chides you. What do you understand about that?
Oh, run that by me again. One more time. I was reading while you were talking. I'm sorry.
Okay. There's a first line, right? When it's a one, two, it also appears in a pleasure found in eating and drinking when your conscience chides you. Maybe I can sing.
Appears in the pleasure found in eating and drinking when your conscience chides you. Yeah. In that seeking for your own will and honor, that confidence in your own wisdom and power, that pleasure in the world of which you are sometimes ashamed before God. All this is life after the flesh.
Hmm. Yeah, but I want a specific point, because between the two red underlines, there's all different things that shows a manifestation of when you're in the flesh. So I want to know the meaning of that one. It also appears found in eating and drinking when your conscience chides you. Just that piece.
Yeah.
Or I can send it to Julia and she can put it up on the screen. Well, never mind. It all depends on you.
What book is it, Joe?
Prayer, Andrew Murray.
Prayer?
Let me put it up on the screen. I don't know if it'll show very good, but we'll put it up there. Can y'all see that? Okay, here's where he's looking. Can y'all see it? Hello.
Yep. It's a little better. It could be bigger. I was going to say, if you could double click on it, or.
Well, I think it's just. Let me see if I can do it.
On the image.
No, I think it's just.
I think, Michael, if you save it as. Save it to your desktop or something. Because I think you're just looking at the attachment. If you save it, the attachment to you, and then you can open it up. I don't know.
Hang on just a minute. I'm seeing size here. Okay, just a minute. Let me try something here. All right, I'm going to stop sharing just a minute and go in and make it bigger. Maybe.
Julie, I send it to you. You receive it.
Well, I can't seem to make it want to do what I want it to do. I may have to. Anyway, can you type this in there, Julie, as I read it?
Michael, I've got it up on my screen if you allow me to share a screen.
You got it on the screen?
I do.
Okay, let me get off. Okay, let me give you. All right, you can go now. I could have done it, but I just want to let her do it. Okay, there it is.
Can you see it all?
Yeah. We can see all he wanted to see. Yeah. Can y'all see it? Okay. Now, what was your question?
What that does mean, it also appears in a pleasure fountain eating and drinking. What does it mean? What does it mean to you? Just a little part of, well, I want most of it, but I just want that part for now. But all different parts of show your inner flesh. I just want to know what that, what do you think of that one?
It also appears in the pleasure found in eating and drinking when your conscience chides you. In other words, comes against you. And in that seeking for your own will and honor, that confidence in your own wisdom and power, that pleasure in the world of which you are sometimes ashamed before God. All this is life after the flesh. Okay, anybody got any? I think I know what it means, but I'm going to let somebody else do it. I think what he's talking about here, if nobody else wants to go, I think what he's talking, go ahead, Jenny.
Well, when I'm getting in that, when I just focus on it, it's like, you know, it's the life of the flesh manifests in many different ways. You know, it's giving into your flesh. So it's like, it also appears in the pleasure found in eating and drinking. You know, it's like living, you know, indulgently or lasciviously or in just, pigging out, you know, and not having any self-control maybe. The part where it says your conscience chides you and you said chides is come against. It's like maybe like your Holy Spirit saying you shouldn't be doing this and but you still find enjoyment in it. Is that maybe what it means?
Mm. So that's your spirit man, right?
Yeah.
That's the telling you to back off. Is that what y'all see there?
Your conscience is, yeah, if you defile your conscience, that's part of your soul, right? You know, so.
Yeah. But listen to what he says, though. At the last time, he says, all this is life after the flesh. In other words, when you're walking in the spirit, these types of things here worry you. They work on you to try to keep you from in the life of flesh. Is that what y'all seeing? What do you think, Andrew? Can you see it? Or Pat? Okay, the life of the flesh manifests itself in many different ways. Okay, he's going to tell us what's fixing to manifest here. It appears in the hastiness of spirit. Yep, that does that. Or the anger that so unexpectedly arises in you. Yep, it does that. Or the lack of love for which you have so often blamed yourself. Yep. It also appears in the pleasure found in eating and drinking. When your conscience chides you. Yep, does that. In that, seeking for your own will and honor. That confidence in your own wisdom and power. That pleasure in the world of which you are sometimes ashamed before God. And he's saying, that's what this is. This is the life after the flesh. He's telling you that your conscience is working with you. Is that right?
Well, it says the next verse there says, you know, it quotes 1 Corinthians 3:3, you are yet carnal, that's your flesh.
Yep.
So, if it, you know, that, to, you know, that text perhaps disturbs you at times. You have not full peace and joy in God. It's because your flesh can't have peace with God.
Yeah. That's a good book there. I've read that book a couple of times.
I just started that. I was listening to your message on Wednesday. So I was just thinking about prayer and I have to study this as well. So, to get my prayer life up again.
That should be the, and it had been in my life up until recently, that should be a part of our whole day is just praying and seeking God and praying for the things that we know we need to be praying about. I mean, y'all remember the story about George Mueller. He'd write a prayer down, you know, Lord, I need this amount of, I need this for that. And he'd write down the date. And then when he'd come, he'd write down the date that it came. And I wonder what would happen if we did that.
Does anyone still want to look at this? I'm going to stop share.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
I'm sorry, I'm getting some textures here.
What page was that on?
It's on that page there we just showed you.
I know. What's the number? Because I have the book.
Oh, do
I was
going
to look it up in my book. Yeah. But I didn't catch the page number.
It's on that page we showed you.
Let me look.
Joe's going to get it.
All right.
I'm messing with you, Barbara.
159.
See, there I told you.
Thanks.
Thank you. It doesn't actually say on that page, did it?
No, it's not saying. I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see if is yours highlighted like that, Barbara?
No, I started reading this book a while back and I never finished it. So no, it's not really highlighted.
It's a good book. I like it. I've read it a couple times.
Mm-hmm. I like Andrew Murray.
Yeah. Which book of his have you read? And which one of David's have you read the most in Murray's book?
What's the question?
That's a question. Which book of David's have you read the most?
Oh, my. I've read almost all of them, but I've read Sovereign God and The Real Good News. I read
a lot of them two and three times. Which one?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure which one I read the most because, like right now, I'm reading Sanctification Before Blessing or Blessing Before Sanctification. How's that go? Sanctification Before Blessing.
Yeah,
I'm not sure which one I read the most. Probably Sovereign God, because I go back to that.
That book you just read, Sanctification Before Blessing, is one that I've read the most. I like that book.
Okay. Well, I've only read that one. This is my second time I'm reading that one.
Real Good News, I've read it. I'll tell you the one I've written the most. Read the most and listened to the most is Hidden Manna. Because when I first got that book, I was just in that thing all the time. But as far as the next one, I like Sovereign God. I think that's a great book. I think it is. I think it's going to be a number one seller. or giver, I should say. But I also like Sanctification and The Real Good News. I like The Real Good News a lot. Y'all like The Real Good News? Don't mm-hmm. say no. Yeah, I'm reading. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm in now. Is Real Good News, and I need to get it finished too. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Did that satisfy you, Joe?
Yeah, I got an idea. Yeah, I just want to see what you're thinking. Yeah. Lots of things I work on and praying about now. So,
Amen. What's your favorite book of all time?
That's easy. The Bible.
Oh, you just gave away the answer, Barbara.
Well, of course it's God's word.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think everybody knew that, though.
Yeah, I do too. I tell you, what's amazing to me is any time that I go to talk to David about something, he's doing one of two things. He's either in the Word or he's listening to the Word. He's got it on his phone and he sits it beside him. If he's laying on the bed, he sits it beside him and the Word is going. And so I've started doing that too here in the last month or so. So it really helps, doesn't it? And I don't know if you have it on audio, it really does. Matter of fact, I've got it on USB in a moment. I need to put it out there in the truck because I want to run it all the time too. Somewhere.
Michael?
Hey, bud.
I just want to say, I was talking to Brandy yesterday.
What for?
About a lot of things. I was talking about over an hour. But the thing is...
Yeah, he told me.
It was good to hear somebody else to talk about the Lord and how he thinks, how he acts. And so it was really eye-opening for me because I'm so much too much... I'm too much by myself, and you get starting arguing with yourself and all this, and that's not good. That was really a big blessing for me yesterday to talk to him, I think so. But Lord just gave me, well, I didn't think about it, but he says, no, call Brandy and things. So I just pondering about this. Okay, yeah, I had to call him. And it was a eye-opener for me just to
Brandy's see
what days are, yeah.
Yeah, Brandy's a good guy. He helps a lot of people. He loves to talk about the Lord, too. Teresa. That was Old Testament. That's the New Testament. I got two books here. Okay, anybody else? What's the last book in the Bible that you read?
Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible.
No, so I said, what's the last book you read?
Actually, that was the last. That was the last book that I read.
That's I know.
I just finished Romans, so I'm in Corinthians now because y'all know that.
Which one?
The Corinthians in the Bible.
No, I
actually, I started with the chapter in the book of Acts where he goes to Corinth, and then I started reading Corinthians. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. I was in Galatians today. What were you in, Pat?
I was in it just now. I was in, I had this thought this morning, that the response that Peter gave the Lord, or maybe, I don't know if it was Peter, but yeah, it was, in John 6:68, said, Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I was searching for the words of life, and it's interesting because I went back, you know, to, I guess, review why the Lord said that to Simon, you know. And it's because back in verse 55, he's talking to, I guess, the Jews and everybody, basically. He said, for my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because the Father, so that he that eateth me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread of life which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died, but he that eateth this bread shall live forever. And of course, that's when the Jews, everybody flipped out, you know, basically, and many of those that were following him turned away because of these words that he spoke. And I don't think that, it's my opinion that Peter didn't even understand these words that the Lord was speaking. It may very well have disturbed him as well. But there was something stronger there in Peter, that even though the Lord says some things sometimes that are hard to understand or hard to, you know, jump up and agree and say, hey, amen, that's me, I love that, I'm into that. You know, sometimes he says things that are a little bit hard, you know. And because, you know, we may not understand them, or probably don't understand what he's meaning by them, but it's that relationship with the Lord that is that presides over our lack of understanding, I guess you might say. And we have to find ourselves as in the same position, saying, you know, Lord, I don't understand that, but I know you're the only one that has the words of life. And so we hold on to the Lord, and he takes us through these things in our life that we need in order to bring us through into understanding of these things. And I think that, Michael, when you mentioned, in the first one, we were praying for people, you know, the Lord is, I think the Lord in doing this later last works that we're in, that we are preparing to go into 7 years of tribulation, that he is presenting the true gospel, the real good news in this time. And even in a fuller extent as to what he was able to give then, because of the fact that the Lord had many many roles in his life, had many specific roles. One being, he was the seed of the new church, of the new called out people. He was starting this thing, which what the full development of was going to take a couple thousand years. And it's only because of the things that have been learned through the generations of Christians from that time to here and to now, and that these things are going to compile. And in these last days, I think there's going to be an explosion of the reality and the truth of God in bringing this great revival in, coupled with the persecution that's going to come in immediately and keep us in fighting strength, in trusting in the truth and in faith, and trusting in this pure word of God as opposed to, you know, any of our other resources. And that very persecution is what's going to, plus the fact that it's going to be a quick work, I believe, is what's going to bring the church into its fullness here at the very end because of that. Anyway, I'll quit talking. What was the question?
I done forgot. All right. Y'all want to listen to a good song before we get out of here? All right, it's going to be a good song. So just hang on. Go ahead, Judy. Who knows what that last instrument was that they were playing?
Oboe?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. How do you play an oboe? Lots of wind.
I don't know oboe.
I don't know oboe either. They always fascinated me, though. They were big. All right, anybody got any prayer requests before we say goodnight? Teresa, good to have you with us tonight. Go ahead, Joe.
Just a good night's sleep or a good few hours sleep before I wake up. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we thank Amen. You. Whatever how many hours he gets, he's going to wake up supernaturally supercharged. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, and everybody. So I pray that for everybody. And I thank you, Lord, that Terry's coming around already. The Lord's working in him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Y'all be blessed to him. We'll see y'all again. Lord willing. I don't know. We may go into EBS here. Uh-oh, I better not do that.